I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. Beholden to no party, no politician. I'm going to bolster my credentials of not being a party guy here in just a second. I get to my quotes of the day. Today's Friday, so the end of the show today, the second hour, will be False Flag Friday, and I've got some really interesting COVID stuff to go over. I officially put that into my False Flag Friday segment a couple of months ago, I guess now, when we see what's going on. This is about more than Donald Trump. This is about more than just a virus. This is about the Great Reset and building back better and plans for changing our society. And we better clue in on exactly what's going on. We're going to talk a little bit about the testing and some pretty interesting moves that they're making, particularly in Ireland, of all places, my poor Irish brothers. So we'll talk about that next hour and then finish up the show with This Week on the Crazy Train, as we always do. Plenty of stuff to get to in that segment. We'll talk about the debates in just a second. Quotes of the day today. There are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is true. That is Kierkegaard. And then in light of debates, and as I will probably point out heading into this election, look, I understand what everybody's voting on these days. You're voting pro-Trump, anti-Trump. You're voting for keeping America like it is versus the UN agenda, Joe Biden, the radical leftist, not ever trying to dissuade anybody to vote against Donald Trump. But I'm just telling you the party system we've got in this country. I'd love to see Donald Trump just move out to be a independent. That would be fantastic. But anyway, there are a couple more quotes here as we are regaled with the political theater of more debates last night. The spirit of party serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against another. That is George Washington. Warning us back in the 1700s of exactly what we are seeing today, we have refused to listen and listened instead to politicians over the past century to get us corralled into the two-party system. George Washington warned us against it, and so did John Adams. John Adams said, "There is nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution." That was John Adams in a letter to Jonathan Jackson on October 2nd, 1780. Just over 240 years ago, John Adams foresaw the future and realized that the two parties would take over and turn us into a country of infighting, separation. Anyway, we'll get to debates in a second. I'm always looking at economic stuff, trying to figure out what the truth of what the economy is. Talked about manufacturing this week. We've talked about a whole lot of stuff. I deal in facts here. I don't deal in talking points. I don't deal in Trump destroyed the economy. He took a great Barack Obama economy, and then look what he's done with it now. I mean, how dumb do you have to be to understand that all of these states closing up their states affects the economy, and that's not Donald Trump's fault? Now, I don't give Trump a total pass on the handling of COVID and stripping us of our civil liberties. He's participated far too much in it, as far as I'm concerned, but he's better than some. But in looking at what unemployment is, and this is leading into an election, so I'm interested. I'm trying to figure out which direction I think this election goes based on what life is like for the average American out there. And so I want to know the truth of that, not, oh, Trump rebuilt manufacturing in this country, or Trump has destroyed the economy that Barack Obama got. I'm not interested in anybody's overarching political statements about it. I want to find out the truth. Wolf Street, a guy named Wolf Richter has this, and he does some in-depth economic analysis that I like a lot. Most people would find it kind of dry and boring, but I'm a bit of a financial markets and economics nerd, so I go to him every now and then. This is what he says now. If you want to know what the state of unemployment is in the United States, what are we, 9 days, 8 days, 9 days before an election? He said total continued claims for unemployment insurance under the state and federal programs fell this past week by 105 million to 23.15 million people, and that's not seasonally adjusted. The lowest since May, according to the Department of Labor this morning. These 23.15 million continued claims of unemployment insurance. Now, this has got problems in it, too, because there's still backlogs on some things being filed, some overreporting, some underreporting. But what we have right now, the official numbers are 23.15 million people on unemployment. This would constitute a 14.4% of the civilian labor force of 160.8 million people. That means we have a realistic, now what we're being told is a 7.9% unemployment rate if you actually just do the simple math. See, that 7.9 figure is so massaged. They take seasonal adjustments. They do the birth-death model. They estimate how many businesses were created. There's all kinds of voodoo that goes into the official numbers, just like Trump told us back in 2016. Unfortunately, now he says they're gospel truth. But the actual, if you just take the number of people that are on unemployment right now and divide them into the workforce, we have a 14.4% unemployment rate. Now, this does not necessarily bode well for Donald Trump. Well, he can say how well he thinks things are going, that we're in this V-shaped recovery, but the bottom line is if you've got 23.15 million people out there that are not working, those are voters, and their lives may not be markedly better. Now, who do they blame? Do they blame their governor? Do they blame their mayor? Do they blame Anthony Fauci? Do they blame Donald Trump? We can't get inside. People are very simplistic in their views. And Trump also rolled out some universal basic income for some of these people, so maybe they're happy that he shot them out $300 extra a month that I think goes through the end of this year. But the unemployment rate, if you want to be real about it, I'm just always searching for the real number. Apparently right now it's about 14.4%. It's funny because when I look at these kinds of things, I don't think I have ever in my entire life, you know, the question is always asked, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? This is what we were supposed to ask after every presidential term when we're considering a re-election versus an opponent. And I don't think in my entire life, even when I was a simpleton, when I first started, I mean, I don't think there has been a single period in my life, election year or not election year, that I've ever looked at my personal situation and either credited or blamed a president of the United States. Even when I was cheerleading for Republican presidents, even when I was cheerleading for H.W. Bush or W. Bush, even when I was mad at Bill Clinton, when I was just consumed with hatred for that rascal Democrat, that thug, that criminal, Bill Clinton. If I was doing well in a particular year, I never looked up from my checkbook and went, oh, that Bill Clinton, he's killing. Now, occasionally you have situations where presidents enact policies that can directly affect one particular industry or another, and I can imagine some consternation about that, but it's just funny to me that we all are supposed to look at our lives and try to decide how this one man has done for us over the last 4 years. Has he delivered for me? And every single time I look at my life, I think I've either done something right and I should keep doing it, or if something's not going well, I look at it and go, oh, I just look back at the mistakes I've made and said, oh, man, that was dumb. I'm not doing well at this. I need to change tact. I need to do something different. I need to. I look at everything that I need to do. But I guess there are large swaths of our country right now that look at their pocketbook, look at their family, they look at everything and try to figure out if the party in charge has hooked them up or not. It's an odd, odd thing to consider, but apparently that's kind of where we are. So we'll see. I did see a report also. So the unemployment rate is 14.4%, not the ridiculous 7.9%. It was substantially worse. Again, the number of unemployment claims apparently went down by a million most recently. So it's trending in the right direction, but I don't think we'll ever, with the number of small businesses that have closed, we'll never see a return to, well, never. Never's a long time. That's probably an exaggeration. We're not headed towards full employment again. But I did see some reports also, though, in some of the counties that Donald Trump took in 2016 that they have seen above average increases in wages. I saw that just this morning, and kind of as I was looking at my phone, so I didn't have a chance to clip it and put it in my thing. So there's that offset. I don't know. It's still a crapshoot to me. Maybe the debate changed some minds last night. It was a better debate. You want to weigh in on it? We'll do it after this break. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
So the curtain went up last night on more of the political theater, the final debate of the year. I'm just the worst person in the world to cover these things for you. I know what people want to hear. Trump killed it. He did fantastic. Well, it was pretty interesting to me. There were good reports, I would say. I mean, objectively looking at it, although just debates don't matter much in the real world. And again, Joe Biden has had 47 years to show us who he is. The Democrats have certainly shown us who they are as a party this year more than ever, but particularly over the last 4 years. And they're different. I mean, I'm kind of glad they showed themselves. They're different. They are not even Bill Clinton's. Heck, they're not even Barack Obama's Democratic Party. This is a new party, this hard turn to the left. But we kind of know what Joe's deal is after 47 years and the last intense 4 years of Democrat resistance to Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has had, I mean, I've never seen anybody so exposed. I would argue overexposed. I think we know where Donald Trump's coming from. So I guess everybody was waiting for some big knockout shot last night. But what was funny to me, and again, I always report on these things as an outsider, not in love with Donald Trump, not in hate with Donald Trump. Certainly not a fan of Joe Biden just because he's another establishment Democrat and they've gone hard left. It's even worse than being an established Democrat, to be honest with you. But it was funny to me to listen to people say, well, oh, Trump did great this time. It was much better. These are the same people that after the first debate were talking about how he just crushed. He steamrolled. I didn't get a chance to watch Sean Hannity. I kind of wanted to see what he had to say about it, not for any informational purposes, but just to give me a chuckle. Because everybody said that the last debate was perfect, and somehow this one was better. So this one, I guess, was better than perfect. Now, I did not tune into any of the liberal networks to see how they talked about Joe Biden's performance. But I can only imagine. I know what I was going to get. Sometimes I look at him just to see what the terms are, the justifications they are that they use for saying that he did better. The real problem that I have with the debates. Speeches every now and then touch on something that I might be interested in, but these debates, they don't talk about anything. I mean, we got two guys. We've actually got five, six, seven. I don't know how many people are actually running for the presidency of the United States, but they only allow on the stage two guys. I've explained that to you before. They don't want somebody to come in there and actually wake the people up and let people know there's another way of doing things. But anyway, we've got these two guys. One of them apparently is going to win. And they are supposedly vying for the leader of the free world, the freest country on planet Earth, yet nothing like freedom is discussed. If you want to talk to me in a debate, if you want me to perk up, I'll tell you right now. I started watching the debate last night, and I pulled my laptop, and I was probably paying 40% attention. Every now and then I'd look up Trump made some good points. Joe Biden made it through two debates, shockingly to me, without having what I thought was just any huge senior moment. A little few stumbles and some ums and errs and a little some short brain freezes. But I think most of us were expecting that if Joe Biden was actually given the time that he would truly melt down. And I didn't see that last night. Maybe I missed it. As I said, I wasn't paying a tremendous amount of attention. But you would think in the United States of America, and particularly for you Republicans out there, you conservatives out there, you would want to hear something about freedom in this country because it's quite obviously going away. And if there's a Republican that wants to get on a debate stage and impress me, they might not talk about things. Donald Trump talked about not locking us down again. You can't do that to those businesses. Now, that's very true, but what I would really like to hear him say is, we can't stop free people from operating a hair salon or a bar. This is a free country. We can't do those things. Legally, we don't have the authority to micromanage people's homes. We don't have the authority in a free country to tell people they can't leave their homes. We don't have that authority. This disease is, you know, some people have got to be very careful with it. But the bottom line is we're constrained by a constitution. The greatest thing about the United States is that we are a free people. But there's no discussion of these things. No discussion of a smaller government, a less burdensome government. No discussion of the debt. And this is a true threat to the United States. We've made it through two debates and two town halls, and nobody's talking about the spending. And that is going to end up being, because it hasn't yet. I saw some quote. Americans take so much for granted. They just assume the status quo will always be there. You know, we can't imagine a crisis in this country when it comes to our debt levels. It may be because people like me have been crying about it for 10 years, 15, 20 years. So maybe you're just sick of, oh, it hadn't happened. It's never going to happen. But I assure you, it's going to happen. But in these debates, they never talk about that. They get into all these conversations about health insurance, never mentioning anything, nothing about the free market. Health insurance is a product. It's a service that people buy. And health insurance would be like big screen TVs. If it was a free market, if the government got its nose out of health insurance, it would be a free market thing. You know, I'd kind of like to even ask people here in Mississippi, you know, Thomas Dobbs, the lockdown king, the restriction czar. You know, he's part of a system that does this certificate of need. They dictate. They talk about overrunning the hospitals, but during the rest of the time, they're restricting the number of hospitals here. So we've got two people vying to lead, air quotes here in the studio, because I don't need to be led, lead the United States, and they're not talking about free markets. They're not talking about freedom itself. They're not talking about reducing government or not spending as much money. I mean, the stuff they're talking about is really basically tinkering around the edges. I mean, some grandiose things that Joe Biden wants to do with Green New Deal and transitioning us off of oil, those are big things. But again, we're free people. You know what? We should have the choice to decide whether or not we want to use oil. They're putting electric cars out there. We all have the choice to move to an electric car if we want to. The Hummer's got a new car out. I just saw the price tag on this thing. It's $112,000. Good luck with that move to green energy if a truck is going to be $112,000. But so these debates are just really lost on me because there's no talk of what actually made this country great. It's just how they want to use the levers of power in Washington, D.C. to craft it in their own image. And that's not what this country was built on at all. And I know you want Donald Trump to win. If you're a Republican or a conservative, we definitely want to see the left put in their place and told to sit down and shut up and leave us alone. There's no doubt about that. But Donald Trump's not going to restore us to anything that really made this country great. He may be good for manufacturing jobs. Given four more years, maybe he gets a trade deal with China. Maybe he gets a couple other things. But the big basic principles of the United States are just gone. And I really can't know. I guess it just really was impressed upon me during this election cycle. Really started noticing that they don't talk about debt and deficits and the size of government during the 18 midterms during the 16 general. It's starting to become louder and louder. The silence is deafening on these things because they're real issues and they're big issues. Donald Trump talked about his COVID leadership. He certainly needs, it's too late now, but he really needed some other level of talking point. If he listens to the next hour of this show, I'll give him something to latch onto with the false flag that is PCR testing that we're going to talk about then. But he needs to find more statistics to make people understand why you have to live with a virus, that we cannot control everything and that death is a part of life. And for the love of God, stop talking about swine flu. He brought it up again last night. Nobody is sitting around talking about swine flu, because every time he talks about that, I say, yeah, but you know what didn't happen? I mean, maybe, I'm sure the Obama administration dropped the ball. I don't know. I didn't want them to do anything. I think my kids got it. I don't know, because they didn't rush out a bunch of testing. They didn't shut down barbershops and bars. The airlines didn't go through the floor. Hospitality industry wasn't crushed during swine flu. Quit bringing it up. Nobody cares. Trying to make some equivocation between swine flu and COVID-19 is so ridiculous, and they keep going back to it. Of course, Biden says he will end coronavirus. I mean, if Biden gets in, he will just end coronavirus. And if you listen to my next hour, he may be right to a degree, not because he'll make any difference in it, but because the media and people that want to prop up Joe Biden have got absolute control. I'm going to show you next hour. They've got absolute control over how many people have coronavirus in the United States, really, and around the world. They can turn it up and turn it down, and I mean it. Could I use the word literally there? There is a way, something that is going on right now, where they can actually create more coronavirus cases. Not deaths, not hospitalizations, not the disease itself, but cases. So if Joe Biden gets in, they may be complicit with him, and he may be able to. I would imagine it's not so much about Joe Biden as it is the vaccine. When the vaccine comes out to get people to take it, they'll dial it down so there aren't quite so many cases. It's pretty shocking stuff. You know, I hope you'll stick around and listen to that. What also came across to me is Biden is such an incredible warmonger. He really is absolutely horrible on foreign policy. I've got my big problems with Donald Trump on foreign policy, particularly in his choices like John Bolton and Mike Pompeo's big lard butt that's still going around the world trying to stir stuff up. Got more about that next hour, too. But boy, Joe Biden, the doddering fool. I mean, he is kind of what everybody has feared. He really embodies to me what everybody was scared of with Ronald Reagan, which was a false accusation lobbed at Ronald Reagan, which was he was a foolish old man with his finger on the button. This is what they said about Reagan. Joe Biden reminds me of somebody who's lost his mind and is just a virulent warmonger, ready to take on Russia, ready to take on Iran, ready to take on all of these players, because he's just another neocon Zionist warmonger like the rest of them. But anyway. And then the other thing that really struck me was when, I think this was the first time I heard it, I laughed out loud. I'm sitting by myself watching the debates, and I laughed out loud when they rolled out for the first time I ever heard it, Biden care. Biden care. Oh my gosh, do we have to keep naming these things after the people that roll this stuff out? And somebody please explain to me, how has Donald Trump gotten through 4 years, really 5 years, right? He campaigned for a year, 4 years in the presidency. The Republicans have been talking about health care for, what, 10 years now? They have been talking about health care, and they do not have an actual plan. Now, I know you think, what, is this guy some liberal? He's using some left-wing talking point. No, it's reality. How in the world have the Republicans not put forth a plan to get rid of Obamacare? Now, listen, I don't want a plan from the Republicans. I want it to go back to the free market. I want them to get rid of Obamacare. I want them to cut off lobbying ties with the health insurance industry that made so much money off of Obamacare and every other rule that does, you know, not competing across state lines, and just open the dang thing up. Obamacare is gone, companies. Go out there and try to win yourself some customers. You know how they're going to win customers? By providing you better service for lower amounts of money. That's the free market, and it would work. It would work. But they won't do that. But how in the world, I don't know if you've seen the interview that Donald Trump did with 60 Minutes. You know, I do kind of like the fact he released his video before 60 Minutes. I do find that pretty funny. But I watched the entire thing. It's about 38 minutes long. I don't know. We'll see how 60 Minutes chops it up on Sunday. This is where he was very combative with Leslie Stahl. And for some good reasons, I just think that he needs a better – I mean, he knows what's coming. He might as well just lean into it. Just make your case and let them ask their stupid little questions. It's not like he's not used to hearing these dumb questions by some of these left-wing broadcasters. But when he gets to replacing Obamacare, he goes completely off the rails. He said, we have several plans. We've got a lot of plans. We promise we'll have a plan. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. How is it possible after 10 years? And again, I don't even want a plan, but for political purposes, how is it possible? Because you know the health insurance industry has been in contact with the Republicans and said, if Obamacare gets struck down, here's what you need to do to make sure our profits are secure. Obamacare was not about insuring people. It was a giveaway to the health insurance industry. I've covered it ad nauseum on this show for the past 3 years. And if the Republicans come up with a plan, guess what? It will be a giveaway to the health insurance companies again. The trick may be that maybe it passes a little bit of the out-of-pocket from Americans onto the government, just adding to our debt and making us feel like we're getting something cheaper. Donald Trump's plan on health insurance is this, near as I can tell. There is nothing official on this. He says, we're going to have better insurance, and it's going to cost less money. To my knowledge, that's about all of the details he's released on the plan. 10 years the Republicans have had on health care. And you've got just one guy going out and saying, oh, it's going to be much, much better, and it's going to be much cheaper. Oh, and it does cover people with pre-existing conditions, which is absolutely impossible to do without high premiums. Because for everybody who wants these pre-existing conditions covered, but somebody's got to pay for that. And so that just ends up going out into the pool of everybody who does not have pre-existing conditions. It's absolutely asinine, but this is exactly where we are. If you want to weigh in on the debate, tell me what I'm missing, how great it was, how bad it was, anything Biden did. Did Biden actually have a big gaffe? I haven't seen anything. I just tell you, I'm the worst person to cover these things. I'm so uninterested. I'm so uninterested because the reality on the ground out here in the United States is not looking great. The trend is not our friend. We're headed towards socialism. We're headed towards universal basic income. We're headed towards a debt crisis. We're living in the biggest bubble I've ever seen. None of these things are addressed in any of these debates, so I just find it hard to even pay attention to them. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. If I missed anything earth-shattering, on the debate, so let me know. I'll say the saddest thing about the debate to me was Melania at the very end. She came up in a mask, and I'm not mad at her for wearing a mask. She tested positive. She said she's still got a bit of a cough. She treated it naturally, which I just absolutely love about Melania. Melania for Health and Human Services Secretary. She's just so darn pretty. It was just a shame to see her covered up last night. She's such an attractive woman. Prettiest first lady for sure. I was trying to think if there was anything else that Trump made. you know, got a few good points, but I'm not sure. Did he sell the Hunter Biden laptop? Did he have the gotchas? Did he take that down? Did he make his case? I am still really feeling like they waited far too long to bring this stuff to light. If this laptop existed, the FBI, obviously, I can't do more time on how corrupt the Department of Justice and the FBI is. They've obviously been covering this up and laying low and hoping that this wouldn't come out. Even during the Trump administration, his loyal FBI has been carrying water for Biden. But Rudy Giuliani is the one that's also had this for a year, and I think they just waited too late. I don't know. Maybe it's gaining some traction. Maybe it will change some minds. I also think that in the political climate, the number of minds out there that need to be changed or that are even available to be changed is probably pretty small this time. But I didn't really see any knockout punch on it. If you believe that Joe Biden is corrupt, and if you believe Hunter Biden is corrupt, then you got what you wanted last night, Trump saying that they're corrupt. If you do not believe these things, if you were dumb enough to believe that it is all a Russia plot against our elections, then I really don't know what can be said to you at this point. The hysteria about Russians. But I always say, look, I know a lot of Republicans who fall for a hysteria about Iran, who fall for hysteria about Venezuela, people in both parties who fall for the hysteria over North Korea. Oh, they're going to bomb us any day now. Makes no logical sense whatsoever. We would destroy that country in an afternoon should they launch anything against us. But we've all been convinced to duck and cover, and kids in Hawaii are ducking under their tables at school for a nuclear attack from North Korea just out of the blue. So everybody has got their fears, the Russia fear on the left right now probably being the most prevalent of it. Just second, barely second, is the Republican fear of Iran. I've got you all scared of that one too. But anyway, I didn't really see a knockout punch on that. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't, you know, it's so funny. The reason I guess I'm so dogged in trying to find the facts, like I try to find the actual unemployment figures, because I'm trying to figure out, I wonder what somebody would feel like right now if they're one of the 14.4% unemployed. You know, and then who do they blame? And because I'm curious to know how life is. Because I have to look at it. I can't get inside the mind of voters for either one of those men last night. I can get in the mind of somebody who wants to vote against Joe Biden. I can understand that. It's just I don't get the whole Trump thing, the Trump savior thing. I know that's a great handicap on this show. It would be much easier to do this. I'd be more popular. People would chant my name. You're listening to Mike Madison Show. You know, I could be the Sean Hannity of the South if I would just find it. If I could just discover what it is, what the elixir is that's got everybody so in love with Donald Trump. I don't see it. I think he makes mistakes. I think he's made a lot of tactical mistakes, not only the policy stuff. I think he, on a daily basis, makes huge tactical mistakes for winning people over. And the frustrating thing is I'm the only guy out there saying the reason I want him to change is I think he could be in the 60s or 70 percentile in approval rating. I mean, he's making inroads with the black community, with the Hispanic community, with minority communities. I think he's definitely making inroads there. I think he could have been leaps and bounds ahead of that years ago if he had just had a different approach. But people told me, no, this is what makes him Trump. And for the base, that's true. But I'm telling you, for I think a lot of people in this country, they don't see it the way you do. If you want to appeal to a broader audience, you have to meet them where they are, not just wait for them to come over and embrace Trump fully. I've got a pretty funny clip. I guess I'll go ahead and play it when I come back. You know, Biden last night went after Donald Trump for, as a matter of fact, it was just on the news break a second ago. This guy said it would be over by Easter. He said it would be over in the warm weather. We're supposed to listen to him now. Trump out there touting his vaccine is on its way. Somebody, God love them, these people who put together these super clips that go through months and months of video and audio and clip them all together. This is a pretty funny thing. You know, Trump is accused of not listening to the science. What did Biden say last night? We want science over fiction. Now, who is the great leader of science here in this country? Oh, it's Dr. Fauci, right? He is our science deity, our science go-to. He is the Mac Daddy of COVID science. Well, I've got a great clip interspersed with Biden's criticisms of Donald Trump and the actual words coming out of Anthony Fauci. I think they go together quite nicely. Stick around. I'll play that in a second.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, only got a few minutes left. Yeah, there's a lot of criticism. It's so funny. So much of the criticism lobbed at Donald Trump I don't agree with. It's just I have my own set of criticisms. So the ways he's being criticized for handling coronavirus, he didn't listen enough to the science. He didn't do this enough. He didn't do that enough. I look at it, and my criticism of Donald Trump is he did way too much. I don't know. I'd have to go and listen to some of the speeches that must have been given by the Swedish prime minister when he said, look, we got a disease out here. Go live your lives. Be careful out there, particularly if you're elderly. I mean, they said something. Apparently, Sweden did have a problem in their nursing homes. Sweden's had 6,000 deaths. The science said if Sweden didn't lock down and take all the drastic measures the United States and the other Western countries had, they would have 90,000 deaths. They've had 6,000 deaths. And the vast majority of those were in their senior homes because they didn't. Probably there's things they could have done better in their senior homes. But at some point, the Swedish leadership had to have gone out there as the rest of the world is locking down, and they had to have gone out there and explained why they weren't going to do that. You would think, in the freest country in the world, our president might do the same thing. But he's surrounded by the swamp, and I just don't think Donald Trump has enough core beliefs to really stick to his guns on something. Let me tell you something. A President Ron Paul would never have allowed the country to have been locked down in any way, shape, or form. And Ron Paul was a doctor. I'm not expecting Ron Paul out of Donald Trump, but I would like to see somebody who just goes, oh, no, I mean, we're a free country here, unfortunately. You know, that sometimes that comes with a cost. But we can't force people to do things. But that's so anyway, my criticisms of Donald Trump are drastically different than the left's criticism of his handling of the COVID crisis. But the main criticism is Donald Trump didn't listen to the scientists. You know, he's just winging this. I especially love the criticisms of Trump and the vaccine. Oh, we can't trust Trump's vaccine. Like he's making it in his tub or something. I mean, what do they think? He's brewing this thing and somewhere in Trump Tower, he goes by every now and then, sticks his finger in and licks it. Yeah, I think it's about done. I mean, what the hell do they think? So Joe Biden levied some of these things at Donald Trump that he wasn't listening to the science. So somebody smartly, cleverly took the time to listen. So let's listen to Anthony Fauci. And this is all advice that Donald Trump took to get us where we are now.
We've been behind the curve from the very beginning. The very beginning.
This is not a major threat. This is not something that the citizens of the United States right now should be worried about.
Science.
And he came up with all these cockamamie notions that, you know, this is going to go away. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Be more concerned about influenza.
He praised the transparency of the Chinese government.
What's really a big difference with the Chinese this time now, they look like they're being quite transparent.
His flip-flopping on social distancing and wearing masks.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Don't worry about the coronavirus, he says. When the warm weather comes, things are going to get better.
We are hoping, though it may not happen, that we will see that impact of warmer weather.
What'd he tell
Science.
Us? It will go away in the warm weather.
I think we might get a respite.
with the weather.
The one thing I'm most concerned about, Whoopi, is misinformation. Listen to the scientists.
Hey, I was wrong.
So there's Anthony Fauci basically saying everything that Donald Trump said, yet Anthony Fauci somehow gets a pass on all this while Donald Trump is held accountable for all of it. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but apparently that's the world we live in. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? Caller, are you there? All right. One, two, three. Got to let you go. Anyway, we're running out of time this hour.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Hey, what's going on?
You got to give Trump credit for one thing.
What's
at
that?
At the beginning of all this, they were talking about forced vaccines, and everybody had to have one, or they couldn't go to work, couldn't go to the grocery store, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, Trump comes out with, we're going to have a vaccine. Now the Democrats are all, we're not taking no vaccine.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true.
He played them like a fiddle.
Yeah, that's true. I'm hoping we're not going to see some, you know, there's still going to be the science out there, but with no reelection, I hope Donald Trump doesn't buy any of this. We need to, I'm scared of the governors. I'm scared of Mississippi's legislature and governor in Mississippi and Thomas Dobbs. I got to tell you, for us here at home, I'm a little worried about them, and particularly for our children. Is there any way that this COVID vaccine does not become mandated for all children attending school?
Probably not. I mean,
yeah,
they mandate just about every other kind of vaccine.
Yeah.
But there, I think there are medical exemptions.
Well, they are, but those are not easy to come by. We have one of the most restrictive vaccination policies in the country. One of two states that doesn't allow, like, I believe it's religious exemptions here. And I can just see these people in our legislature and our government, and this red state, this bastion of patriots and freedom, tacking this thing on to our school kids. That's the first thing I'm kind of looking at askew. Not near as worried about Trump. Now, I am concerned about a Joe Biden presidency forcing masks, forcing a vaccine. And when I play this stuff next hour, you'll see what the whole plan is about. But yeah, I'm definitely worried about him in that case.
All right, brother. You have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that is that has been one. I mean, Donald Trump has put up some resistance to this stuff. And I understand politically there's so many people in this country that are such helpless snowflakes, and they look to the top for this leadership, and they've been convinced this vaccine's going to save us all. And so politically he has to talk about a vaccine and trying to get a vaccine out. Otherwise everybody will tell him he's trying to let us all die. He doesn't even care. It's just, you know, I don't want the thing out there. My job and my kids' health, and I'm more concerned with that than I am scoring political points to have anybody reelected. The emergence of this vaccine when it comes is just absolutely terrifying to me that it's coming at all. The best hope we can have is that people wake up. I hope we will contact our Mississippi legislature, our governor, our health authorities, and tell them up front, absolutely in no way, shape, or form, do you mandate this vaccine for all of us out here. We're not scared of COVID. We're more scared of the vaccine.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me on this Friday. If you usually tune on Fridays at 10 o'clock, you know where we're going. This is my little segment here called False Flag Friday. I typically do this. It's kind of a foreign policy time, particularly when we're so invested in domestic policies, riots, COVID, all these other things going on. We don't talk a lot about foreign policy stuff anywhere else. I make sure I tuck it in here because it's very important. But I'm going to talk about COVID next time, too. I've got some clips you really need to hear about COVID. This is the kind of stuff I wish Donald Trump was paying attention to. I think it would give him a better response to the COVID hysteria and how he believes we should continue to operate as a country while this thing is amongst us. But anyway, I'm going to do some foreign policy stuff first because I got to tell you, things are not as they seem. There's two stories that kind of tie in together. I've talked a lot here in the show about Nord Stream 2. What's that? Nobody knows. It is the oil pipeline that Russia has been building with the cooperation of other countries to deliver oil and natural gas from Russia to Europe to open up the European market. Europe wants to buy gas from Russia. Russia wants to sell gas to Europe. The only people that have a problem with that are competitors, and that is the United States, too. Part of the Russia hysteria that you're seeing, because you see it from the neocons, too. We just had John Radcliffe and Christopher Wray come out and implicate the Russians for election interference again just 2 days ago. A lot of that is resource-based. So I ran across this story, and I'm going to tie two stories together here. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has long vowed he'll, quote, do everything, unquote, to stop Nord Stream 2. Can you just even imagine the Chinese saying, what, they're going to close down all the ports on the Gulf of Mexico, the United States. They're going to do anything they can to stop America from shipping its oil from the Gulf of Mexico. You think we'd put up with that? Of course not. Anyway, Mike Pompeo says he will do everything to stop Nord Stream 2 last month, indicating the U.S. is building a coalition of countries to fight against it. Given Washington sees it is a massive compromise to Russia, giving it leverage over Europe as well as Ukraine. Quote, from the U.S. point of view, Nord Stream 2 endangers Europe because it makes it dependent on Russian gas and endangers Ukraine, which, in my opinion, worries many Germans, Pompeo said weeks ago. Mike Pompeo speaks for the German people. That's weird because the Germans are saying, we want to buy gas from Russia. But Mike Pompeo now speaks for Germans. You got to love the America First bent of Mike Pompeo. On Tuesday, the State Department expanded U.S. sanctions targeting companies working on the Russia to Germany gas pipeline. While sanctions already target the specific European companies and their executives directly at work on the project, they've now been extended to include sanctions even on firms upgrading, servicing, or installing equipment on the ships laying the pipeline. This is mafia-style tactics run by Mike Pompeo at the State Department. I know he's Trump's guy. He's a neocon warmongering thug carrying water for the oil and gas industry in this particular situation. It's about power, too. But here's where I thought it got pretty interesting, too. We have seen, and I have cast a little bit of suspicion here at the Mike Madison Show about the, air quotes here in the studio, peace deals in the Middle East that everybody's crowing about. It's gotten Donald Trump a couple of Nobel Peace Prize nominations. Now, I've been noticing that all of these peace deals between Israel and these Arab countries is all Israel along with big oil-producing Sunni countries. I suspect they're building an alliance to go after Iran after the election, either with Donald Trump or with Joe Biden. I believe this is going to happen. As a matter of fact, if it doesn't happen, I'm going to meet everybody after 4 years of a Trump's second term. If nothing has happened with Iran, I'm buying everybody a beer at Year Pie in 4 years. How about that? I'll put my money where my mouth is. Otherwise, if it happens, feel free to individually, if you doubt me now, call me and take me out for a beer. Anyway. So there have been these peace deals going on in the Middle East between UAE and Bahrain and Israel. I love peace more than anybody. I'm just a little cynical on these things, and then I ran across this weekend. It didn't take long for the historic U.S.-brokered peace deal and normalization of ties between Israel and the United Emirates to shift focus to a potential major oil pipeline project already in the works. Now, these peace deals are, what, a couple of weeks old? That's strange that they've already got some pipelines working. And this is as opposed to Nord Stream 2. You see why Mike Pompeo is trying to sabotage Nord Stream 2? Again, it's the Russians trying to sell gas, the Europeans wanting to buy gas from Russia, Mike Pompeo trying to stop it. And it just turns out that Israel and these Middle Eastern countries, they've got their own way they want to get oil to Europe. Israel's Haaretz newspaper reports, quote, in what could become one of the most significant deals to emerge since Israel and the United Arab Emirates normalized relations, the Israel state-owned pipeline company, Europe-Asia Pipeline Company, or EPAC, said on Tuesday that it has signed a memorandum of understanding to store and transport oil and distillates from the UAE to anyone? Europe. Oh, look at that. It almost makes it worse. At least if Mike Pompeo was out there trying to disrupt a pipeline between two sovereign countries, well, really, dozens of sovereign countries that want to trade with each other, at least if he was doing that because American natural gas wants to be shipped over there, it makes it much more expensive for the Europeans, obviously, to cross an ocean with natural gas than just run a pipeline from a neighbor. But at least then the United States might benefit from it. Turns out, part of the opposition to Nord Stream 2 from Mike Pompeo is to make sure that Israel and the UAE and some of the other Arab countries can benefit from providing oil and natural gas to Europe. Haaretz reports further that the Memorandum of Understanding was signed in Abu Dhabi on Monday in a ceremony attended by anyone? U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker. So we've got our Treasury Secretary down there attending a ceremony. This is when they were talking about him being in the Middle East the other day when he was negotiating with Nancy Pelosi. You might have heard he's in the Middle East. Well, this is what he was doing. He's down there helping UAE and Israel ink a deal to get oil and natural gas into Europe. What's the U.S. Treasury Secretary doing? Going to the Middle East to support and endorse a deal between Israel, UAE, and Europe? Doesn't really seem in the purview of the U.S. Secretary of Treasury, but what do I know? Quote, this is a historic agreement that will increase cooperation between EPAC and regional and international players. Without a doubt, this agreement has great importance for the Israeli economy, both economically and strategically, because it involves long-term joint investments. This was from this pipeline group's chairman, Erez Kalfon. Anyway, there you go. There's another little nugget for you. So when you hear the Russia hysteria, particularly out of people like Mike Pompeo, you know what he's doing. He's not only talking up the book of us selling oil and natural gas into Europe instead of the Russians, he's actually trying to help the Israeli economy. America first, baby. That's what it's all about. When I come back, I want to get into this COVID stuff. This is I've got a clip from the inventor of the PCR test. This is the test that is driving the huge case counts, the spikes that they're telling us that they're seeing. When you hear this and you understand exactly what this guy is talking about, you realize that the number of cases of COVID in the United States is essentially on a dial, like a stereo just about. You can turn it up and you can turn it down. I'll show you what I mean when I come back. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
I started doing this False Flag Friday segment to kind of alert you to the ways you're manipulated into wars, things like that, particularly when it comes to foreign policy. They use fear to drive agendas. Mike Pompeo is using fear of Russia. He uses terms like Russian aggression, Russian meddling, all these aggressive things. He's just trying to disrupt business to get his buddies the pipelines that they want. They use fear to manipulate people, and that's why I do this segment each and every week. But fear is used to drive agendas, and we've never seen anything in the United States. Well, maybe terrorism. And the right, you really fell for that fear. You gave away a ton of your rights. You love the Patriot Act. You took on the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act because you were so scared of terrorism. It's a terrorist behind every bush. Well, now we're seeing COVID, and I have added that to my false flag category. There's a piece by Dr. Mercola, just to kind of look at where we are. He said, for decades, war and the threat of war has enriched technocratic elite and kept the population going along with their agenda. War and physical attacks have been repeatedly used to foist ever more draconian restrictions upon us and remove our liberties. The Patriot Act, rammed through in the aftermath of 9/11, is just one egregious example. today, pandemics and the threat of infectious outbreaks are the new tools of war and social control. For years, Gates has prepared the global psyche for a new enemy, deadly invisible viruses that can crop up at any time. And the only way to protect ourselves is giving up old-fashioned notions of privacy, liberty, and personal decision-making. We need to maintain our distance from others, including family members. We need to wear masks, even in our own homes and during sex. We need to close down small businesses and work from home. We need to vaccinate the entire global population and put stringent travel restrictions into place to prevent the potential for spread. We must track and trace everyone, every moment of the day and night, and install biometric readers into everyone's bodies to identify who are potential risk carriers. Infected people are the new threat. This is what the technocratic elite wants you to believe, and they've succeeded to convince a shocking ratio of the global population of this in just a few short months. And boy, is he ever right. Hysteria is still alive and well in a lot of people. It's tough to get through to these people. So I wanted to play this. We're seeing the spikes. This is the guy that came up. This is the inventor of the PCR test. This is what they're using to tell you that we've got all these new cases. And strangely enough, you know, the case of Nick Saban the other day. Nick Saban last week tested positive on something like Tuesday of the week. Oh, he can't coach the game. He's got to be quarantined. Oh, my God, Nick Saban's got coronavirus. By Friday, he had tested negative twice. Now, he's a super coach, judging by his salary, maybe one of the best to ever live. Unless he's a superhuman, then something smells a little wanky with that first test, doesn't it? Well, here is the inventor of the PCR test telling you exactly how it works.
Now, the results, the interpretation of it. See, if you can say, if they could find this virus in you at all, and with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. It starts making you believe in the sort of Buddhist notion that everything is contained in everything else, right?
Now, I want to say this is from well over a year ago. I think this guy is dead now. This is before this. And what he just said was, if you use a PCR test, if you want to find something, you can find it. Because we got a little bit of something in all of us. And if you just look hard enough, I'll give you a kind of an illustration of kind of what that means in my mind.
I mean, because if you can amplify one single molecule up to something that you can really measure, which PCR can do, then there's just very few molecules that you don't have at least one single one of them in your body, okay? So that could be thought of as a misuse of it just to claim that it's meaningful. PCR is separate from that. It's just a process that's used to make a whole lot of something out of something. That's what
also,
it is. But it's not, it doesn't tell you that you're sick, and it doesn't tell you that the thing you ended up with really was going to hurt you.
Okay, again, that was over a year ago. That was before coronavirus fears. This is the inventor of the PCR test. His name is Kerry Mullinson, I believe. And what he's saying is that this is just a test process. The PCR test was not designed to detect coronavirus. It's just a process for amplifying things in your body. And the way I look at it is, just imagine you get all dressed up, you're headed out, and you're wearing a black dress. You look at yourself and you're wearing black. I say, well, you're wearing some green, aren't you? No, I'm wearing all black. You look at my outfit. You spin around. It's all black. Well, if I look close enough, really magnify everything, I bet you I'll find a green strand of something, maybe a little bit of green fuzz from something you brushed up against or something that came off in the washing machine. But sometimes you got to look really close. I mean, really close. The PCR test, what it does is it's a magnification tool. And so there are cycles in this. If you cycle it one time, you take this thing and you amplify it once to look at it. Just imagine kind of, I guess the best example these days is on a touch screen. You know, you take your fingers and you move them out to zoom in a little bit. So you zoom in once, you look, and then you zoom in again. That's another cycle. Now you're closer to it. And then you zoom in again, and now you're a third cycle in. And then you zoom in again. So every time you're zooming in, every one of these cycles is zooming in more, getting closer, amplifying what you're seeing. Now, a lot of the people that have commented on these PCR tests said 35 cycles is the most you can do to try to find coronavirus without over-exaggerating it. That means they're amplifying it, and it's a multiplication thing, right? You know, it's It's one time. So you do it one time, you've doubled the size. Then you do it the second time, now it's quadruple the first size. And you do it again, right? It's 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. 35 times is how much they're magnifying these things. The problem is that places like the CDC, the FDA, the WHO send out new guidances to all the testing facilities that say how you should amplify this, how many cycles you should do on this thing. And there have been times that the WHO will send out and say, amplify it 45 times. So the techs running these tests to they're not doing this thing manually. They're putting into whatever it is, a machine or whatever, and they're just putting in the code, whatever code has been sent out by the FDA or the CDC or the WHO. And if the number is 45, they just plug in the 45. They set in their sample, and they look, and they go, oh, my gosh, there it is. We found it. And at 45, you are going to find a ton of false positives. And this is why, I mean, it's a dial going up and down. So you just leave it at 45, which will give you a ton of false positives. Because, again, this PCR test is not a test made to find coronavirus. It's to magnify anything you're looking for in the body. They could switch the PCR is just a process. It's not a test. It doesn't test for a disease. It's a process to look closely for something. So they send out 45. Cycle this thing 45 times, they're going to find a ton of cases. This is why you're seeing all these spikes. Now, if they want to turn this down, now you can use your own judgment on why they might want to do this. A Biden presidency, if they want Joe Biden to have conquered coronavirus, they'll just turn it down. But I don't think it's so much about Biden. I think it's more about things like vaccines. Or if people comply, and I'm going to show you that in just a second too, then they'll turn it down and go, look, all these tests are now coming back negative. It worked. The vaccine worked. They turn it down to 32. Now they don't find many cases. For all of us that have existed on planet Earth, probably, we've been exposed to coronavirus at some point, in the air, on a surface, whatever. It's in us somewhere. And what this PCR test guy is saying is, look, we've got a little bit of something in every molecule of our body. If you look hard enough, you're going to find some of everything. Cancer, HIV. I mean, just look. It's going to be in there somewhere if you look hard enough. And that's the great game. And probably what is leading to these spikes. I don't know what the word out from the WHO is right now, but I'll bet you anything, it's high. Now, what's interesting is Ireland has just had a big shutdown. Let me play this clip. I'm going to run a little long in this segment, but I think this is important. This is the Irish Prime Minister.
Restrictions have very real impacts, including on mental well-being, capacity to treat non-COVID illnesses, unemployment and loss of income for families, and very significant social impacts, such as increased domestic violence and fewer child welfare referrals.
I feel a butt coming
These
on.
These and the many other consequences of increased restrictions are hugely important
but.
And require careful thought.
But.
Having given it that careful thought, the government has decided that the evidence of a potentially grave situation arising in the weeks ahead is now too strong.
Ah.
Therefore, for a period of 6 weeks from midnight on Wednesday night, the entire country will move to level 5 of the framework for living with COVID-19.
There you go. Ireland. Ireland's a country of 5 million people. I decided to just do a little look and see what their cases look like. And if you go do a chart search, I always type in chart, you know, Irish deaths. Boy, in March, they had some big spikes. Big spikes. I mean, you look at this line, it's kind of like if you're just looking at it, if I was on this microphone saying nothing and all of a sudden I screamed and then I went back to nothing. That's what this chart looks like. In March, it screams. It is now down. In Ireland, the deaths are at zero. And I mean down to just about zero. And I'm not talking about like they had 10,000 and now it's down to 400. I mean almost literally zero deaths from COVID, yet they're locking the whole place down. Now, Ireland is well known to be the home of many pharmaceutical companies. They went over there for preferential tax treatment. And this may be one of the reasons that Ireland is being picked for this little project of complete lockdown, not because they're facing any kind of a health crisis. Now, I'm sure that they've done the same thing there. I'm looking at deaths. I'm not looking at cases. I'm sure they've done the same thing there. They've turned up the cycles on these things to get a bunch of positives. A lot of people in Ireland walking around, if you look at them closely enough, down into every single little molecule, you're going to find coronavirus somewhere if you just keep looking, and that's what they've been doing. So I'm sure they've had some level of a spike in cases to justify this, but they're having no deaths. So this is a bunch of these, air quotes here in the studio, asymptomatic carriers. Now, here is what this ends up all being about. Listen to how what Ireland wants to roll out. See, you can't roll something like this out. Just, you got to get this in your mind first before you hear this. Imagine two scenarios. One is you've got no deaths. It's no big deal. Irish have gone back to the way of living. Would you convince them to take a vaccine if nobody's really sick? It's not really bothering anybody. Everybody would just say, no, I'm living my life. I don't think I need a vaccine. I don't think I need to be tracked and traced. Everything seems to be fine. If you freak them out and lock them down for 6 weeks and then tell them there's only one way we can reopen our society, then that explains what this is. And I believe this comes from the World Economic Forum, but they're rolling it out in Ireland. Listen to what they've got planned for these people. And again, I say, you have to lock everybody down first so they'll accept something like this.
Health Passport Ireland is created to protect our society and our economy. Built in Ireland by the RockU Group, the system uses the very best COVID-19 testing, combined with the latest mobile technologies. Health Passport Ireland is powered by proven and validated systems, allowing us all to take safer steps in our return to our normal way of life.
Now, I want you to notice, too, in this, I believe they named the pharmaceutical company Abbott. Abbott. I need to look at their stock ticker, but Abbott's been doing a lot of testing. Boy, they are knocking the cover. I imagine they're making a few dollars off of this. Now they're going to roll out an app. And you're going to put this app on your phone, and it's going to show you green or red whether or not you can go out into society. But you got to use that Abbott test so that it will translate out to your Abbott app on your phone that you can show to people so you can go into a businesses again. Nobody would accept this, looking at the death count in Ireland. So they're stoking all this hysteria about cases. Listen to the rest of the things about this app.
Here's how it works. With Health Passport Ireland, everyone can now be tested for COVID-19 at any time, which helps to protect you, your family, our jobs, and our economy.
Protect them from what? There's like zero deaths. You could count the number of Irish deaths on one hand right now from coronavirus.
COVID-19 test will be performed with highly accurate serological or swab tests. Your test is performed by a medical professional. After your COVID-19 test, an authorized healthcare administrator creates your Health Passport Ireland account. Your login details will be emailed to you immediately with a link to download your Health Passport mobile app. The authorized healthcare administrator securely updates your COVID-19 test results in your Health Passport. Once activated, you can easily display your COVID-19 status on your mobile.
Oh.
Your Health Passport can be scanned if you wish, which helps protect those around us. Your COVID-19 status will efficiently display as green, amber, or red, dependent on your test results. This allows us to go about our daily activities in a safer way. We can all use Health Passport Ireland in many ways, such as travel, hospitality, education, healthcare, construction, offices, entertainment, visits, and much, much more.
Yeah, meaning your entire life rests on your phone. Green, you can live your life. Red, it's over for you. You stay home until we come tell you you can leave. Time out, citizen.
Naturally, the validity of your COVID-19 test will expire over time, so an automatic reminder will be sent when it's time to be tested again.
Ah, the repeat testing. But it goes from green to a little bit of a lighter green, and then maybe an amber, and then if you don't go get that test, it's going to go red.
Your status will move to amber when your test period has expired. Health Passport Ireland does not use Bluetooth or track your location. This preserves your privacy.
Oh.
The systems can work in harmony with existing government contact tracing apps. When a vaccine becomes available, your official vaccination status can also be displayed within your Health Passport.
Oh, super.
You can even keep a diary of your international travel and events you have attended. Health Passport Ireland can be linked to existing secure medical systems if required. For example, at your GP or hospital. You can visit www.healthpassportireland.ie for more information. Health Passport Ireland, working together to protect our society and economy.
Oh, wow. That is why Ireland is being locked down. That's why the Irish are being stripped of all of their freedoms for 6 weeks with no deaths from coronavirus. Because they will be begging to get their lives back by using this app. This is the big plan. This was not a Democrat plot to take down Donald Trump. This is the goal of coronavirus. And now you know the PCR test was never designed as something that just said, if you use the PCR test, it will be accurate. It will give you the result that is accurate about whether somebody is sick or not. The PCR test is such a powerful technology. It can find any disease at any time and any person if you just run it enough, if you use enough cycles. This is the big scam here. And Ireland, unfortunately, is the guinea pig, I believe, because they're the headquarters of so many pharmaceutical companies. I'll be right back.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show. Last part of the week here. We're going to get take a look back at this week on the crazy train. Before I get into that, I wanted to caller called up and mentioned, too, we're talking about that app that they're rolling out for those poor Irish suckers who don't know what's about to hit them. That iPhone keeps putting out on these updates. I know they had done one. It was like some kind of a COVID tracker or something. The caller said that they have, with each update, they're putting something out. So a lot of people went in and turned this off after the first update. I heard a lot of people talking about that and people sending me stuff on turning this off on your phone. It's in your settings somewhere. Now it's there's been another update since then. I guess it's back again, something called exposure that you can actually turn off. And I guess they're just figuring if they just do this with every update, eventually we'll get either tired or lazy or we'll miss an update and we'll end up having these trackers on there. If you can imagine, I don't know how they're going to use this thing, but if it's on your phone, you could just get a call one day or a letter in the mail that says, we just found out you were around somebody. You got to stay home for 2 weeks. We don't care if you were getting married. We don't care if you were going on a trip. We don't care. You're home for 2 weeks. This is horrible, and Apple's participating in it as well. Anyway, heads up to everybody. Check your settings. Make sure you don't have a COVID tracker on your phone if you don't want it there. All right. Let's see. Yeah, well, we'll go ahead and get started on this. I got to tell you, one story really kind of dominated all of my preparation for this week on the crazy train. We also have found that there is we've got a regular that is coming on now. He's just returned to mainstream media from sports broadcasting, and that's our old buddy Keith Olbermann. He is going to make a regular appearance, apparently, on this week on the Crazy Train. He came out with another rant. I played one last week. Apparently, he's not done.
We are all tired, but mostly I'm tired of the needless sickness and the needless death. And the needless terror because this mentally incompetent, inhuman, dumb bastard has lied about this disease in 1,000 different ways, a different way for each different political need he has sensed.
Oh.
And I'm tired of the thought that we're now going to repeat the months of March and April in this country, a country that should have learned something, but which in large part has been authorized to wallow and die in its own stupidity because of one man, one dumb bastard, one selfish son of a bitch, one real-life Major French attacking the only hope we have, the science, and insisting science is wrong and Fauci is an idiot and only I can save you, and insisting you can do whatever you want and the disease affects almost nobody. Donald Trump should be on trial for 220,000 murders. Death penalty for each count.
Holy cow. Holy cow. Well, if Keith Olbermann had listened to my last segment, he might understand there's a little bit of a problem with the science. that he seems to believe so heavily in. Let's see, this, they're going after the competitors. You know, I just talked about Nord Stream 2. They're going after the competitors of our vaccines too.
With the world desperate for a COVID vaccine, Russia is accused of spreading lies about a leading candidate. Here's Richard Engel with that story.
It's one of the world's most promising COVID vaccines, developed by Britain's University of Oxford. And tonight, an unconfirmed report in British media suggests Russia is trying to discredit it.
No!
Russian television and state-controlled websites are calling Oxford's drug a monkey vaccine, suggesting it's unsafe for humans. Cartoons, featured heavily on pro-Kremlin websites and mysteriously sourced, imply the vaccine will even turn people into monkeys. NBC News recently spoke to the top U.S. countering...
I got to tell you, COVID has turned a lot of people already into sheep, so that's not such a big leap.
Intelligence official who told us Russia and China are trying to discredit and steal vaccine research.
Whoever obtains the vaccine first is going to be the geopolitical leader of the world.
Rich. But why monkeys? The Oxford vaccine uses a modified virus commonly found in chimpanzees to deliver genetic material.
What could possibly go wrong? So now the Russians are attacking the vaccine stuff. I got to take a break because I want to line all this stuff up. We had one story, and I deliberately just didn't talk about it all week because it was so bizarre, and saved it for this next segment. So stay with me.
All night with the King.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, final segment for the week. Supposed to be a nice weekend. Get out and live your lives and go to the fair. And if you go to the fair, you should go to Mike Madison's Patriot Parking. I should hawk my parking services. Looks like we got another swing at it since last week was so slow. It's at 500 Graymont. It's Mike Madison's Patriot Parking. That should draw some people in from the WYAB listening audience. But it is a safe space for everybody. It's where Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor, black and white, we all come together in a safe space there and interact like normal human beings, just going out and having some fun in our lives. Anyway, I do encourage people to get out and do some fun stuff here. Stick it in the eye of the man who's been trying to keep us down for the past 6 months. Anyway, the fair's there. My parking lot's at 500 Graymont. I just ask, if you come by, don't throw anything at me if you're mad at me for things I say on the air. It's very dangerous to tell anybody where I am. But anyway, come on by. We got a nice, safe place for you to park. If you don't do that, if you don't go to the fair this weekend, make sure you check out Your Pie. Or do both. Tonight is supposed to be a little rainy. Don't know we'll actually be doing our parking tonight. But Saturday and Sunday are supposed to be good days. So maybe tonight be a nice day to head out to a restaurant, sit indoors, and have a nice slice of pie. Your Pie is 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out there by Germantown High School. Fantastic 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas, paninis, pastas, gelato. Got craft beer and wine. So go out there and enjoy it. They've also got television screens if you want to catch a game this weekend. They've got a ton of TVs in there. And it's a great environment, great staff, veteran-owned, and one of these small businesses here in central Mississippi. We need to work on getting them back to whole. They've suffered through this pandemic, and this is a great one to go to because we know you will also enjoy the food. Get the Your Pie app. You'll find out if they've got specials. You can earn points when you get pizzas. All kinds of goodies on that app. So just go to the App Store and find the Your Pie app. But check them out, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Tell them that WYAB sent you. They'll treat you right. All right, this week on the Crazy Train is really revolving all around just one single event. It's why this segment exists. Jeffrey Toobin on CNN was apparently caught with his pants down, quite literally. Did you see this story? The headline is, New Yorker suspends Jeffrey Toobin for, self-pleasuring himself on a Zoom call. Old new different definition of a Zoom call, I guess, but we need to give the guy a break. He's had a hard time. He was just showing us the latest poll. I think he might have misunderstood when he heard someone calling Donald Trump a master debater. And face it, CNN, you put him on national television and he just choked it. But to their credit, they did jerk him off the air very quickly, so there's that. One of the funnier things about it, the New Yorker, who Jeffrey Toobin apparently is a contributor to, and I believe they were involved in this Zoom call, they said they're doing a full investigation. I got to tell you, you know, if you hate your job, just think you could be an investigator for the New Yorker that is having to investigate Jeffrey Toobin's behavior on a Zoom call the other day. It's truly just absolute bizarre times. He's apologized and said he's a tad bit embarrassed. Gee, Jeffrey, you think? Now, this was a very touchy story. You see how I did that there? And it was very interesting to listen to how the media had to cover it. I caught this one between, you know, they get the co-host at the desk there trying to explain exactly what took place on this call.
Why? What happened?
Let's see. How shall I put this?
Well, just put it.
He took it out.
He what?
He took it out.
He took what out?
It.
He took it out.
Yes, sirree, Bob.
He couldn't.
He did.
Well, you were involved in some sort of amorous...
No.
You mean he just...
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh, quite.
There was no mistaking it?
Jerry.
So you were talking, you're having a pleasant conversation, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah.
It out.
So, you know, it's tough for the news to cover it, so they had to just try to explain it in a clean enough way for television. Now, to add some real insult to injury, this you know you've done something bad when you get criticism for this guy. See if you recognize his voice.
Jeffrey Toobin. At least Pee Wee Herman was in an X-rated movie theater. I'm just saying.
Do you recognize the voice? That's O.J. Simpson. You have done something pretty bad in society. When O.J. Simpson feels like he can come out publicly and condemn you for what you have done, that's where we find ourselves. So, Jeffrey Toobin. Certainly the highlight of this week's episode of This Week on the Crazy Train. I did think it was a little sad this week. We found out Macy's said Santa Claus won't be greeting kids at the flagship New York store this year due to coronavirus interrupting a holiday tradition started nearly 160 years ago. So COVID apparently has killed Santa Claus as well. Now, I'm just kidding. If there's any kids listening, I don't mean that literally. It's just the nut job parents the nut job adults that you're following behind. Have lost their mind. There was a story about a San Diego school. Let me see. I pulled this up here. I got so distracted with the Jeffrey Toobin stuff that I fell a little behind in here. The San Diego Unified School District has announced it will eliminate its previously used grading standards in order to, you guessed it, quote, combat racism. The move came about after it was revealed that just 7% of D or F grades are handed out to white students, while 23% went to Native Americans. 23% of failing grades went to Hispanics and 20% went to black students. So they are getting rid of those grading scales. That should fix racism somehow. I'm not sure exactly how. Let's see what I have time for here. This was pretty funny. This isn't really on the crazy train, but Babylon B is a good commentator on where we are in the United States. They put out a voting guide here, letting people know what to do on election day. Here are some of the points from Babylon B. It says, call Mark Zuckerberg on the phone to ensure you're at the right voting place. Binge watch Sean Hannity and Rachel Maddow the night before so you'll be fully informed. Look for any candidate with an R next to their name and vote for him so Jesus won't cry. Look for any candidate with a D next to their name and vote for them to end racism for forever. Make sure and write the correct answers on your arm so you can refer to them while voting. Remember, not voting is the same as being a member of Antifa or the KKK. Bring extra hydroxychloroquine with you and pass it out to everyone so you can all stay safe. Cough all over your ballot so Russian agents won't touch it and tamper with it. Go into the voting booth with your wife to make sure you approve of her choice. If you are a Calvinist, close your eyes and vote for random people and place it all in God's hands. Host a MAGA tailgate party outside the polling station, even if you're a Biden voter. Biden parties are lame. If you are made to wait in line for any length of time, scream voter suppression at the top of your lungs. Take the time to listen to a woman of color and ask how she would vote, like Candace Owens. Don't let the post office deliver your ballot. Instead, hand deliver your ballot directly to President Trump. Bring a basin of water so you can wash your hands after voting like Pontius Pilate. And pray or don't, whatever, it's cool, you just do you. Let's see here. Here was another good one. I should have put this one up there with the Keith Olbermann clip, but we'll go ahead and check it out now. One thing about Democrats, you're calm and reasoned. I like that you don't ever overreact to anything.
I'm terrified. Listen to me, Republicans. Listen. You are the people in history they warned us about. They warned us about people like you. Pay attention. We're losing our democracy. Wake up! Wake up!
Holy cow. I don't know. Change any minds out there? All right, we got time for this. Let's see if we do. I don't think I really have time for it. Britney Spears, that's just a rambling thing. I just thought it was a sweet-sounding voice to take us out of everything else. Anyway, that's about all the time I've got today. Have a fantastic weekend. If you head out to the fair, go to Mike Madison's Patriot Parking at 500 Graymont, right across the street from the fairgrounds. We'll see you there. If not there, your pie. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.